Virginia Education Association versus Davidson, Larry A. Petrucci, Dina Rosengrant, Appellant Counsel, Brian Davidson, Pro Se Appellee.
You may proceed.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Dina Rosengrant. I represent the Virginia Education Association and teacher members of VEA. VEA and its teachers filed one of three appeals before you on the decision of the Richmond Circuit Court ordering release of statistics known as student growth percentile, or SGP, by teacher name and license number. You've heard from the Department of Education and the School Board of Loudoun County, and those arguments have referred to teachers and the performance of teachers. These appeals present important issues of first impression and statutory interpretation. The VEA appeal and the appeal of our member teachers raise another important issue, and that is the right of teachers and possibly other public employees to participate in a Freedom of Information Act case involving public release of personnel records or performance indicators.
Well, intervention's discretionary, so the concept of an absolute right is inconsistent with the power of the court to be exercising discretionary power.
Sir, we believe that Rule 314 allows a new party to intervene as a plaintiff or defendant, and it is in the discretion of the trial court. In this case, we believe that the discretion was wrong as a matter of statutory interpretation, and because the trial court said, I'm not going to let the teachers in because they're not a public body for purposes of receiving a Freedom of Information Act request. But as a matter of statutory law, I think that is a misinterpretation of the Virginia Freedom of Information Act. And therefore, the discretion exercised is based on an error in the statute, an error in interpreting the statute. Teachers have germane interests to raise rights created by statute, and we are referring to three different statutes in this matter. The 22.1, 295.1 paragraph C, which protects the confidentiality of teacher performance indicators. We also refer to the Freedom of Information Act 2.23705.1 paragraph 1, which is sometimes called the personnel records exemption.
Are you representing any specific teachers that would be subject to this request for disclosure?
Yes, sir.
Have you identified those teachers by name?
At the moment, sir, that's not part of the record below because we were denied intervention. And that's precisely why we say if we had been allowed in, we could have presented individual teachers' testimony, individual teachers, and we could have raised...
But the request for intervention did not identify specific teachers that you were allegedly representing for purposes of the FOIA interest?
Because we were denied intervention so early on, sir, we were never even offered the opportunity to identify individual members.
My question presupposes that if you want intervention in a representative capacity, you have to come clean and say who you're actually representing.
Your Honor, I'm sorry that I'm drawing a blank right now on the names of my local president in Loudoun County, and I guess I would try to say that we would have to identify teachers who had the... in other words, teach math or English to grades 3 through 9. And so I would have to go and identify those members, but
because they don't want to be represented by you. We don't know that. You never even alleged that they do.
Well, Sir, I think that with due respect, that the peremptory decision denying intervention did not allow us an opportunity to do so. And I would say...
That's the cart before the horse, is what Justice Kelsey is saying. In order to intervene in a representative capacity, you have to demonstrate who you're representing.
Well, and again, I guess our frustration was that the ruling was we were not a public body, and therefore there was no question of the individual member or teachers that we might have represented.
Well, that's a twofold issue. If you remember, if you were a public body that had some obligations under FOIA, that would be a different analysis. But you're not a public body under FOIA. You don't have the records. What you're trying to do is intervene because you have an issue that's germane to the issue, to the question before the court. But you're intervening in a representative capacity, and you don't have any representatives. You don't have anybody who you represent.
To address the question of representative capacity, I believe that VEA meets all the tests that this court has created.
Well, they might very well, but they didn't meet it at the time that the judge had to make the decision whether he would allow you to intervene. And even you can't name them because you can't remember.
Well, please, sir. My nervousness at this moment.
Oh no, I'm not criticizing the nervousness. I'm just trying to suggest to you that if you don't know who they were, the trial judge didn't know who they were. And the issue of representative intervention requires the court to determine whether or not the people that you say you represent have issues that are germane to the controversy. And that's all that Justice Kelsey is asking.
Yes, sir. Well, in that case, I guess my answer would be that the appropriate procedure would be to remand this case down for the judge to afford us the opportunity to identify the individual members we represent. Remember, this happened very quickly. An order had been entered after the Department of Education.
If we did that, we'd have to hold up a merits determination on the other two cases while you cobble together a list of people you represent.
No, sir. Actually, what I would say is we asked the court to rule in favor of the Department of Education and the Loudoun County School Board on issues of statutory interpretation, but also take advantage of the opportunity to address the issue and the right of teacher to standing in such a case.
My point is you're being overtaken by events. The merits of the underlying question are before us already in the other two cases. Your remand would mean we'd have to put everything on hold probably for a year for this to go back down to determine whether or not someone can put together a list of people you actually represent.
No, sir. I'm not asking for a remand, but I would ask that even if you don't remand, even if as a matter of law you determine that teacher performance indicators are confidential, that there is an opportunity in this case to address the question of the standing of a public employee.
That would be a perfectly moot opportunity.
The mootness in this case should not prevent the ruling, just as in the case, the
is
Daily
it capable
Press.
Capable of repetition yet?
Not only capable, it's very likely to be repeated.
You were beginning to explain what you could have brought to the table, but were precluded from doing that because you weren't allowed to intervene. Could you unpack that a little bit for me?
Can I ask one question about the discussion that's taking place? Does the Luan test and the Hunt test require that you actually name the person that you represent, or does it require that you indicate that you have at least one of its members who would have standing?
Right. In the Chesapeake Bay Foundation case, the tests for representational standing were, and I believe that VEA meets all of them, that one member of the VEA could bring a justiciable case.
Who is that member?
For example, I have the president of the Virginia Education Association.
Has the member been named so that somebody could test that?
Excuse me, sir?
Has the member been named in the pleading so that someone could adequately test the interest of the member?
Not in this matter, sir, because
that,
we were denied.
See, that's what the problem is. It's not that on the facts and in this case that you couldn't have. It's that you didn't. That's the difference.
Well, I guess
I guess my question is, does the law require you to name the person, or does the law require you to allege, in order to satisfy the first prong of the Lujan test, a plaintiff must have pled that at least one of its members has an injury in fact, must have pled that at least one of its members. I don't, perhaps there is something in there that says, and name that member.
Right. And I would say that we pled that we represent at least one member, and that the trial court would have been the appropriate place for us to then present one or more members.
Let me see if I can summarize what might be your best argument.
Thank you, sir.
You represent hundreds of Loudoun County teachers. If the trial court is upheld, there are any number of teachers whose information will be disclosed by name and by teacher license number. You are making a presumption, probably a pretty good presumption, that at least one of those teachers is going to say, you know, I'd rather that not occur. That's, I think, the best argument. Whether that's a sufficient argument, I don't know. But is that correct?
Thank you, sir. Okay. Yes, sir. I'd expand on it to go further and highlight, there's been reference in the previous arguments. Mr. Davidson has used the Freedom of Information Act to obtain teacher names and salaries, which is, under the statute, a matter of public information by law if the teacher makes more than $10,000. So he has teacher names and he has salaries. He has been given the SGP data with the names of the teachers withheld, so non-identifying SGP data. He is here pressing his case in order to get the SGP data by teacher name, so that he can then connect it to the data he already has, teacher name and salary information. So, yes, sir, exactly what you say, which is that we are here to say that the idea of a teacher's name, salary, and now these performance indicators, or we also talk about statutory rights to personnel information and any data that we are the subject of, that we should be in the courtroom to participate in those hearings. I noticed that in many of the Freedom Information Act cases that this court has addressed, there's a problem with sometimes the record is not adequate, who has been there and whether things have been preserved. And I think that's part of the problem here. That
can I ask you this? Obviously, this is not a legislative subcommittee hearing, nor is a trial court. Courts have to have parties with actual controversies and case and controversies, and representative status always depends upon a real underlying litigant. I'm looking at your petition, and it's long, and if you can point me to a sentence that says, we represent a teacher, whether it's Jane Doe, John Doe, or whomever, without name, with name, that will be directly affected by this request under FOIA, and they object to it, and we represent their interest. Is that in this petition?
If it were not in the petition, sir...
I'm asking, is it in the petition, not whether it should be or not. Is it in the petition?
Well, I guess what I would answer is this is an opportunity for this court to provide that direction to an association such as the Virginia
Education... Well, to get the direction, we need to know the facts. Is it in the petition or not? Is that allegation in the petition?
In our petition for appeal? Frankly, sir, I'm
not
sure I can...
No, your petition to intervene. In your petition to intervene, did you identify anything? Is there a sentence that says, there's a teacher we represent who's subject to this FOIA request, who objects to this disclosure, and we are here representing one or 100 of those teachers?
Oh, yes, sir. I believe we did. I don't know. What I'm pausing at is whether we gave you a name, whether we said Jane Doe. But we did plead very specifically that we represented, and we told you how many members we had in the Loudoun County Public Schools, and that we represent those members.
Are they subject to this particular FOIA request, and do they object to the disclosure? Is that the allegation that was made?
Well, I'm being very careful, sir, that because we were not allowed to intervene, that's not in the trial court record, but we did plead that in our petition to intervene. And I would like to just take the opportunity to say, in the tests for representational standing, one of the questions is whether the issues are germane to the purpose of the association or the organization seeking to represent individuals. And VEA proudly advocates for high-quality public education, and we do represent individual teachers who are members in Loudoun as well as other school divisions. I'd like to reserve my remaining time for rebuttal.
I have no doubt that that your teachers are affected by it. The question of naming it isn't who they are is another issue altogether. Is there any legal question that is presented by the Virginia Education Association that is distinct and apart from the legal issues that are presented by others in this case?
I believe there are, sir, and very specifically the question of the personnel exemption, so-called personnel exemption to the Freedom of Information Act request records 3705.5 paragraph 1, where the individual who is the subject of a personnel record is given three rights: the right of access to the record, the right to waive protection. And so here the question is, if the individual has not waived protection, is the record subject to disclosure by the employer or, in this case, the Department of Education? So that question, the effect of an employee waiver, or in this case, the lack of such waiver, would not be addressed in the other appeals.
So are the individual you refer to as a teacher?
Yes, sir.
How do we know whether they waived it if you don't tell us who they are?
Well, sir, I would say, how do you know if they don't waive it? I would say that our position is that if they haven't waived it, that has to be introduced, and that they would then be identified as not waiving it.
All right. Give them a seat at the table and you'll find out.
Exactly. Thank you very much.
May it please the Court, I'm Brian Davidson once again as the appellee. Before I address the legal questions, if I could address some of the policy questions first. So what are unions? Unions are employee organizations created to selfishly protect their members. That is certainly their right. The teachers' unions object to any objective data being used to evaluate their members. That's why in every single district across the Virginia, over 99% of teachers are evaluated as effective. Based on that alleged percentage of affected teachers, a child has a greater than 50% chance that they will never encounter any ineffective teachers in their K-12 career, despite having dozens of teachers. Nobody except the teacher unions believes that fact. Yet the Loudoun School Board and BDOE won't even publish the aggregate ratings in terms of the non-identifiable aggregate data that they can create. They say if they don't create the document, they don't have to give it to me. Parents and taxpayers are precluded from even advocating effectively for their children in terms of policies. And particularly disadvantaged children, who often have no active parents, can't even actively advocate in terms of what policies and who the politicians should be. Due to my criticism of the school board, in my neighborhood school violating multiple federal laws, the Loudoun School Board banned me from my kid's school for nearly an entire year. I couldn't even drop off my kid in the school driveway while I was asleep. After the district administration put their foot down, that principal was demoted from an 800-student school to a 100-student school. The new principal welcomed me with open arms, and I've taught math enrichment to a group every week for the past year. Now, while my daughter has an effective teacher, as an electrical engineer from MIT, I can tell you that the majority of these kids in the school do not understand proper math concepts. You will hear teachers proudly proclaim that they hate math or that they are horrible at
math.
Can
I ask you this? Did the petition to intervene identify by name or not by name, or state any allegation that the association is representing an actual teacher subject to the FOIA request who objects to the disclosure?
No, Your Honor, I don't believe it did. In fact, I would argue that even if, for representational standing, I believe that they have to include actual participation by a teacher in the trial. Because unlike the Chesapeake Bay case, where you just have pollution going into the river and it obviously affects everybody, in the other cases I cited in my pleadings in New York and New Mexico, actual teachers were involved who they put on the stand, and they went through the SGP algorithm to determine whether that teacher was being harmed. In other words, if the data
is... The question I'm asking is a pleading question. I mean, the trial court made a decision on the petition to intervene and said no, right? And abuse of discretion is a standard. And if the petition is on its face facially inadequate to require or to say that it's an abuse of discretion not to allow intervention, doesn't matter what the evidence might or might not be there.
Yeah, I agree that the standard here, Your Honor, is the abuse of discretion, and whether it's an abuse of discretion to allow a party who has something germane and a properly brought representational standing is one question. We believe, now they already have issued a injunction petition to me that they plan to bring under 2.2.3800. So I believe even if I win on the merits, I'm going to have to go through this process again on the Data Collection Act, which is one of their arguments here. I believe that's the proper forum for if they're going to bring a Data Collection Act, because here they cannot be a defendant in this case. FOIA allows you to bring to get monetary damages and or monetary fees and all of that stuff. And I believe that the proper role would have been for them to issue an amicus brief. In other words, if it would be one thing if BDOE or LCB were not arguing their issues. But BDOE and the school board brought all of their issues, and the only person who can determine whether the SGP data at the teacher level is a teacher performance indicator is not the union, it's the school board and the BDOE. And given that they are actively representing or defending that action.
So under 314, even if they had identified actual teachers who did complain and did object and wanted to be represented, the intervener is not asking for any subject matter to be addressed or any argument to be advanced different from what the other parties are addressing, so the discretion of the trial court is protected there as well.
Yes, sir. In the Virginia UVA case with Professor Mann and the climate science, argument would be is there, that was under a different section of FOIA regarding proprietary information. That's a highly technical situation, and that issue was not argued in court. And it doesn't appear in the record that the petitioners bringing the FOIA request objected to Professor Mann intervening. And he was brought in to talk about specific issues in the case. That's why he was allowed to intervene. But it's our argument, and as the trial court made in his oral arguments prior to his ruling, that case was not about whether a third party has a right to intervene. Only the public body is the respondent in this case, and only they should be allowed in. Now, they can call teachers. BDOE and LCB could call teachers. They could call the unions at trial. They could have brought any of those people as witnesses, but they didn't. And so it's our argument that they had their case. Now, under the data, in terms of the Data Collection Act, in terms of the merits on that case, like I said, I believe they're going to bring that elsewhere. However, I would argue the only protections under 2.2.3800 are that it allows you to verify the data is accurate before the data is released. And given that it's been 18 months since then, I would argue they've had ample chance to get that data to be made accurate. In addition, if in theory SGPs at the teacher level were potential TPIs, they should have been getting that data accurate before Loudoun got it. And in other words, if your evaluation is dependent upon that, you have an obligation to do that. They also have a right to view the data. So I'm not disputing that they have the right to view the data. But their argument under 2.2.3805, I believe, where they talk about dissemination for independent analysis, under that argument, the data couldn't be given to the Loudoun School Board. Right? In other words, the whole purpose of the reports at this level were to make the data available. If I can get back a little bit to what SGPs and you know, like I said, I think the VEA and I agree that average SOL scores at the teacher level are not valid teacher performance indicators. They tell you very little about that. Could they be used as teacher performance indicators? Yes. In fact, some may try to do it. But it tells you very little about what that teacher taught in the school. SGP is a calculation, is a derivative of SOL scores. It has, teachers are nowhere in the calculation. And I have several references to the record in terms of where that was done. With Ms. Susbury in 1147 and 48, nowhere in the calculation of SGPs is the teacher. That data had to be given to the schools before it was ever going to be used for teacher evaluation. In other words, Virginia did not have to accept No Child Left Behind waivers. California, Massachusetts, and others did not do that. They never considered using any type of value-added metric to evaluate their teachers. They had other restrictions, but they didn't do it. They were required because they got the stimulus money to create that growth measure and give it to the teachers so they could say, wow, you know, this child scored 550 on the SOL, he's doing great. The next year he scores 450, it's still a passing grade, but the SGP would be horrible. It would show, you know, like 2% because there was a big drop off. Maybe there's something going on at the child's home. In other words, the creation of SGPs were not predicated on teacher evaluation. SGPs, what we're talking about here with in terms of SGPs in the release, and BDUE has already given me the data at the student level, aggregated by school or aggregated by district. All an SGP is it's tied, it's a measure tied to an individual student. I can aggregate that in any different way I want. I can aggregate it across Virginia. I can aggregate it for Loudoun. I can even aggregate it within Loudoun based on people who are teaching this curriculum over here to see if it works. I can see if the schools that are grouping students by ability level, whether that increases performance. The only issue I believe that's here at the present case is not whether I should... First of all, RIT was never issued prior to April and May to give me the data. BDUE did that on their own. So I'm asking here that the court uphold the trial court's ruling that the data should be released. Now, I believe, and BDUE has not disputed that the scholastic record exemption or that the data should be given to me at the student level. So it's my argument here in all these cases that the RIT should issue and I should get the data. I believe that the only issues that are relevant is whether the teacher data for which SGP, you know, belong to which teacher should also be included, right? That's the issue that they object to, that Loudoun, I think Loudoun may object to other issues, but BDUE does not object to that issue. And I'm arguing, a lot of the argument in terms of the judge allowed the school board to intervene on the confidentiality clause. I've argued on multiple occasions that due to the delay, and I've spent $40,000+ before, you know, I had to have my attorney withdraw to save money as well as, you know, some other reasons. But I've spent tens of thousands of dollars. And let's be honest, even if my kids have a bad teacher or your kids have a bad teacher for a couple of years in a row, they're going to be fine, right? This case is not about me. This case is about how we can go and openly get the data to evaluate our public institutions, whether school districts and BDUE can accept federal money under certain conditions, create data using taxpayer funds, using my dollars, your dollars, everybody's dollars, not comply with those laws, not use them as teacher performance indicators, and then tell the people you don't have a right to come over and get that data and evaluate how we're doing. That's ultimately what this case is about. And for the disadvantaged children who are in these schools, they only got one shot at getting an education. And if we can't evaluate how the school systems are doing on a whole, there's no way you can do it. They say that all of their teachers object to this data. When I got the data that BDUE did produce, I aggregated it by school and by district. And what I specifically look for is what are the schools that have very low SOL scores? What that tells you is that they have a lot of kids in poverty. And then I look for, of those schools, which one have high SGP scores? In other words, which ones are I call them the miracle workers. Which ones are taking kids from poverty who may not have a good background and are really elevating them? And I posted the names of those schools on Twitter. And I got letters from some of those schools saying, you know what? We are always seen as a horrible school because basically we have poor kids. But thank you for giving us recognition that we never get otherwise. That's what this is about. Now, I live in Loudoun, which is affluent. There, as I said, there are schools that have 75% plus free and reduced lunch. But ultimately, in our case, our district points to, hey, look, we have great SOL scores. Well, that's because you have sons and daughters of judges, justices, lawyers, doctors, engineers. It doesn't tell you whether our school system is doing a good job. So even without the teacher information data, the reason that I think the SGP data should be published is so that the whole premise of FOIA, that it's to be liberally construed. It's not to say if there's any chance that the government doesn't want to see you this data. In fact, under 2.237.113, it says the government's perspective on exemptions carries no weight whatsoever under 2.237.13. And there's a reason for that, because the government naturally has an interest in withholding all data. They don't want you to see the data. And once again, the argument here, I believe, is only whether the teacher information can be added. There were some arguments that the teacher data is not in the same database, that's false. In other words, Dr. Richards had testified that he had, with the click of a button, punched aggregate reports that included the teacher names. Dr. Susbury and Mrs. Canada testified at trial that the sample performance indicators of the central growth report included the teacher names. So all of the data is there, and the teacher's data is there. I'm not sure if the court's interested in the aggregated, disaggregated argument at all.
Well, I have a question. Am I right about this, that I read somewhere, I think is it JA 1147 and 1148, that they just quit calculating SGPs altogether?
Yes. So this gets to the other point about the credibility of the different parties involved. As I said, they were getting federal money, and each year they signed assurances that teachers were being evaluated using the growth method SGPs. They didn't have to do that. While this trial was going on, actually in January of 2015, their last application for renewal of the waiver said, we're going to get away from SGPs and we're going to use progress tables. And all that does is it takes 1 year's SOL score and subtracts it from the last one and does these calculations. However, in the February 2016 hearing, they admitted that they didn't even produce SGPs for 2015. And I'm unaware of, even they told the U.S. Department of Education that they were going to use progress tables. I'm unaware of anybody that's used progress tables whatsoever. In other words, during this entire time, you had high-ranking public officials. Ms. Veronica Tate was one of them that I tried to call as a witness, and I was not allowed to bring her in, that were signing assurances, certification number 8 on the form to the federal government that says, we will do this, and they were not doing it. SGPs will never be calculated again. Based on my reading of the law that changed in April of 2016, the only people who could ever possibly get SGPs are myself and possibly Mr. Butcher, because we filed before the law has changed. The law saying anything that could be used is now confidential means the only thing this case applies to is the data that I request. I greatly appreciate your time.
All right, your time has expired, and unfortunately so has yours. The court will be in recess until 11:20.
All rise.